It's from Genesis chapter 3. In verses 14 and 15. You know, many of us have heard that Jesus is mentioned in every book of the Bible, from Genesis all the way through Revelation. You got to look. You got to search. But he's there. And it shows you God's plan of salvation from the beginning. On this earth, Jesus was with the Father in heaven before all of that in the creation. But Genesis chapter 3, and I have this in the Living Bible because I like the way it's written. And when you find it, everybody ready? You got it? Okay. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "This is your punishment. You are singled out from among all the domestic and wild animals of the whole earth to be cursed. You shall grovel in the dust as long as you live, crawling along on your belly." How would you like a future like that? See, every time he reminds you of your past, you remind him this is his future. "From now on, you and the woman will be enemies. As well as your offspring and hers, you will strike his heel, but he will crush your head." And that's the first reference to the Messiah, to the Savior, that you'll find from Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to see this pattern of what's happened through that. Even in this judgment that God declared against him, there's mercy. God's curse on the serpent, in particular, was laced with words of hope. The woman mentioned is Eve. And as part of this curse that God spoke upon the enemy of our soul, enmity, that word means mutual hatred and ill will exist between the woman and the serpent. Later, the same enmity will continue between the woman's seed or offspring, mankind in general, since Eve is the mother of all living. And the serpent's seed. The serpent's seed, their offspring will remain enemies throughout all generations. The serpent's offspring are demonic spirits or demonic forces, and also those people who follow the devil and accomplish his will. It's no clue anymore, not a big revelation to realize not everybody's saved, and there are many who choose to follow the devil. And he is the god of this world still. He's in charge of all the unsaved ones. God says that Satan will always be the enemy of mankind, and it follows that people who side with Satan will be at perpetual war with God's elect, and that we are engaged in a very real battle between good and evil. But also, in this verse, some people call it really the first gospel, because you haven't gone far into the story and already you see the enemy, but you see the Savior also. And that's important to note that. It's kind of clothed in there, but it's there. It's the Bible's first prediction of a Savior, and the second half of the verse gives two messianic prophecies concerning that Savior, and here's the first one. The first messianic prophecy in Genesis 3:15 is that he will crush your head. The he, of course, is Jesus, and he will crush Satan's head. That is, the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. So someone is going to come through the woman. Ultimately, we come to Mary, but way many, 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 many generations. So that's why this was prophetic at the time. Even with the curse upon Satan, the blessing is that the Savior is introduced, the Messiah. And in the second half of the verse, gives two prophecies concerning that Savior. Yes, I think I just read that. That is, the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. The Amplified Bible If any of you have the Amplified, I know usually when Lorraine comes, she has the Amplified so that she can read from that. But it makes it clear that the woman's seed is more than mankind in general. It is an individual representing all mankind. And I will put enmity or open hostility between you and the woman, if you're still following this, and between your seed and her seed. He shall fatally bruise your head. That was what God spoke to Satan. And the second prophecy is that you will strike his heel. That is, the serpent will bite the heel of the woman's seed. Now, I know it's kind of, you like that, like Biden's dog, The heel bite is set in contrast to the head crush. The Amplified Bible brings it out, and you shall only bruise his heel. This passage points to the promise of Jesus' birth, his redemption, his victory over Satan. The woman's offspring is Jesus, being virgin born. He is literally the offspring of a woman. Being the Son of Man, he's the perfect representative of humankind. See, I'm going to stick to my notes today so far. The devil's offspring were the evil men and demonic forces who, like a snake, lay in wait for the Savior and struck at him. Their venomous conspiracy condemned Jesus to be crucified. Remember, he called the religious leaders a generation of vipers because they had no good will towards their Messiah, which they totally rejected at that time. And so he related them to snakes or serpents. They were of the devil. They were called of God, but their work was of the devil because they had no goodwill towards Jesus or any of his followers. But the serpent's strike did not spell the end of the offspring of the woman. That's some more good news in here. Jesus rose the third day, breaking the power of death and winning the ultimate victory. And with the cross, Jesus crushed the devil's head, defeating him forever. The crushing of the serpent's head was a picture of Jesus' triumph over sin and Satan at the cross. The striking of the Messiah's heel was a picture of the wounding and death of Jesus on the cross. Satan bruised Jesus' heel, but Jesus showed complete dominance over Satan by bruising his head, cut him off forever. And that's the good news for us as believers. Satan, although he's still active in this world, he's a defeated foe. We give him too much credit sometimes. When people tell me the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that, and I say, how do you know? He might be in Ethiopia today. He's not like God. He's not omnipresent. But when you hear some people talk about him, you think he is. Well, he's not. And he's a liar, and he's the father of lies. And not only that, but he's defeated. Look at where God told him to be. You're cursed on the ground. Remember, of how many of you remember over the years I've said, if you really want to get back at him right where he is, write Jesus on the bottom of your shoes? Because that's where he is, and everywhere you set your foot, you remind him of his head crushing that he took all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. It's good to remind him of those things sometimes. And the devil was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. That's his future. So just remind him in love. Somebody said we're to walk in love, right? He had his opportunity. And until that time, there remains that enmity, of that division between Satan and God's people. God always had the plan of salvation in mind and informed us of his plan. And as soon as sin entered the world, Satan formulated a plan involving the serpent in Eden. And you know, here's a side trip. That's not in my notes. I promised I got this far. But also, God did something else for Adam and Eve. He killed an animal and made coverings for them. And there was the shedding of blood because I'm sure that animal bled for the forgiveness of their sin. You can see God's mercy and his compassion right from day one. It's just who he is. In that, he's unmovable and he's unshakable and he's unchangeable. He will always be merciful. He will always be good. And so God was way ahead of him, having already ordained the serpent crusher. Oh, I like that. Jesus Christ perfectly fulfilled God's mission. And the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He stripped him of all of his power and all of his authority over the believers. If you're not a believer, you need to be. Because otherwise you're still under his power and his authority. Now we have a New Testament scripture. How prophetically, Romans 16:20. When Mona was here years ago, she would just jump up and down on that keyboard with her red sneakers, and she would sing, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet." And oh boy, she would just jump up and down, and every time she'd hit the floor, she'd yell the word crush. And it was so good because it was such a reminder to us that that's his future. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The blessings from our Lord Jesus Christ be upon you. This is what Paul wrote to the Romans. And so let us repeat this scripture. This is good for you to remember. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. So just a little longer. We don't know how long shortly is. And we don't know how short shortly is. Without a doubt, it is not written maybe. No, God himself would do it. And it won't take 30 years. It will happen shortly, quickly. And here's when it happened for you. At the beginning of your Christian life, as soon as you became a believer, you received the blessing of that promise that Satan has been crushed under your feet. He has no power. He was stripped of all of his power and all of his authority, going all the way back to Genesis. And this verse is so perfect because it connects the two together in the life of a believer. And after you've heard of, and at the beginning of your Christian life, or soon after you have heard or read this scripture, it's a wonderful reminder today. We're called together to bring encouragement and hope and the good things of the Lord together. And this is a wonderful reminder for us that as evil, he's exactly the opposite of God's goodness, is he the evil one. But we're not to be troubled by that. This does not mean that you will receive just a little or even a lot of help against the power of Satan. No, he'll be crushed. These words are like the words of Jesus, which were spoken with authority. And I speak with that same authority. He's been crushed, he's been defeated, and you're winners, you're overcomers, you're more than conquerors. And Paul said that he always causes you to triumph in Christ. If you try to win on your own, that may be a hard battle. But when you win in the Lord, in Christ, your victory is secure. Your victory is a sure thing. So don't be discouraged. Be encouraged today. The battle's already been won. For those of you that are believers, you're born again, born of the Spirit of God. We have a few skirmishes, but we win the big one. Amen. Amen? Now go get a big hug from somebody.